Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and a very special guest today, Mr. Larry Alex Taunton. I'm Bob Davis and we welcome you to the broadcast. Because we've got a lot to discuss with Larry today, we will not be taking live phone calls, but you can still get a question to us in the usual way at 844-322-2742 and we'll get to it as quickly as we possibly can. But right now, let's get to our interview and our discussion, our conversation with Larry.
Well, thanks, Bob. Larry, welcome to Basic Gospel again. We're so glad that you were with us today.
Hey, glad to be with you. As I said last time, I don't often listen to radio, but whenever I do, it's the Basic Gospel.
That's right. That's right. Well, Larry, as we described you last week, you're one of the most interesting guys that I know, may just be the most interesting man in the world. And what makes you so interesting is some of the company that you have kept through the years. Part of your work that you've done, you facilitated some debates between Christians and atheists, and so you've had personal interaction with some of the leading atheists on the planet. You've talked about all the big issues of life, all the questions that are debated, and you've heard them say with their own mouths what they believe about the resurrection, what they believe about Jesus, what they think of the Bible, what they think of Christianity. And since we're getting close to Easter and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I wanted you to come on and talk to us a little bit about, you know, what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is thought about out there in the world of atheism. And I know you facilitated a debate with Richard Dawkins, the English biologist, I think with John Lennox, the great mathematician. And you've debated Christopher Hitchens, and you've just known all of these guys. And what do they say about resurrection? We know that's one of the things that they criticize most about Christianity, but what do they say and why?
Bob, you know, it's interesting. When you had mentioned to me, you know, this particular topic that we would be discussing today, I went back and reviewed some of my notes, some of my exchanges, lengthy email exchanges, and I was just really trying to stimulate my memory on engaging guys like Dawkins, you know, for more than a decade. And the answer to the question is, what they say is not enough, meaning that I don't think they fully understood what the Apostle Paul, well, and of course they don't understand because as a rule they don't read the Bible. But the Apostle Paul, you know, says in effect that the whole of our faith rises or falls on the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, if Jesus isn't resurrected, then we are, what does he say, the most to be pitied. You know, because we're, you know, we're our hope is built on sand, if that's the case. And I was reminded of a lengthy exchange with Dawkins. Dawkins, as you mentioned, just in case some of your listeners don't recall who he is the Oxford evolutionary biologist who wrote The God Delusion, which was a mega bestseller. And Richard will focus on things like turning water into wine and, you know, that sort of thing. And I, however much you see these guys, you know, doing on stage in some of our debates, which you can find at LarryAlexTaunton, TAUNTON.com, you can find those debates there. But, you know, for every minute on stage, I'll say there's, you know, 60 minutes off stage that I'm engaging with them. And, you know, Richard and I had a very lengthy exchange at one point on this very topic. And he would just go on and on and on about the absurdity of water into wine. And I would say, Richard, you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you really are dead set on taking the Christian faith down, you need to be focusing on the resurrection, because the whole of our faith hinges on the resurrection. So I find that they kind of have their priorities out of line.
Well, that's interesting. And you're right when you say they never read the Bible. They just pull out some talking points and they really equip themselves well around those talking points, but they really don't know what's in the Word of God. And one of the reasons I find that this discussion about resurrection and Richard Dawkins, I think one of the things he said is that it's about as well documented as Jack and the Beanstalk. And obviously he doesn't know a lot, but it's addressing a problem that science is desperately trying to solve, and that is the problem of death. And research, I mean, billions and billions of dollars is being poured into research today to first find out why we die, what is the mechanism of death, what causes each person to take that final breath and the body just to die, and then is there a solution to that? Can we keep people alive forever? Peter Thiel with PayPal is investing hundreds of billions of millions and billions of dollars just to find that solution. And science will never find a solution to death. They will never be able to generate enough power to give life to somebody that has died in such a way that they become immortal, that death will never touch them again. And yet they seem to be so flippant about the subject of resurrection. It really is mind-boggling to me. And I've always wondered why they don't address it more.
You know, I think it comes back to what you said at the beginning of your comments, and that is that they don't read the Bible. And because of that, they don't understand, it would seem to me, the centrality of the resurrection, meaning they tend to focus on things like the character of God or this miracle or that miracle or Old Testament violence or Noah's Ark, you know, or something like that. But all of these are, as I say, just garnishes on the plate. I mean, the central miracle upon which everything rises or falls, the central pillar is, of course, the resurrection. And so, you know, even just before I came online, came on the phone, I just thought I'd do as I was sitting and waiting for your call, I thought I'd just do a quick little Google search on atheist response to the resurrection. And you find very little. You find a lot of name calling. You find things that say, I mean, the Christians believe in the fallacy of resurrection and bodily resurrection and all sorts of scientific claims, but no one very seriously dealing with the historic claim of the resurrection. And it's hard to take critics of the Christian faith seriously if they're not taking that question seriously.
Yeah, there is evidence. I mean, this isn't just a leap into the dark. There is a lot
of biblical evidence,
that supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we'll get into that as we come back from this break.
Our very special guest on Basic Gospel today is Larry Alex Taunton, and we'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. A very interesting one it is. As we often say here at Basic Gospel, our hope is that what you hear on this broadcast every day is making a difference in the way you walk through life, and we hope that it motivates you to help us move the message forward. We pray that you will help with a gift today. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and as you give this month, we'll send you a copy of our new CD, Proof of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us get the message out, friends, and when you do, request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection.
Well, thanks, Bob. Back with Larry Taunton. And Larry, we just really appreciate you and your keen insights. And just thank you for sharing those with the Basic Gospel audience, what I like to call Basic Gospel Nation. We just really appreciate that. You're a true brother in the grace of God. And we're talking about resurrection. We're talking about the evidence of the resurrection. Larry, talk about some of the evidence that is out there. Of course, we have the gospel accounts, and as you read those, you see that these are eyewitness accounts. This is somebody just telling the story as they saw it, as they encountered it and are writing it down. But is there other evidence out there that speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Well, of course, we have the biblical testimony, as you mentioned, which is a very powerful testimony. And I say that as a historian. I say that as someone who was chiefly trained as a historian, meaning sometimes we treat the Bible as a book of holy writings, but not as a historical record. I mean, it's there along with, say, Thucydides and many of the other great classical, you know, writers, Suetonius and so on, the historians who documented the events of the classical period and handed them down to me, and handed them down to us. And it seems to me, I find it very interesting that when speaking of ancient times, historians very seldom reference the Bible itself, unless they're theologians and so on. And that's kind of curious to me. Yesterday I was having an interesting conversation unrelated to the resurrection with someone who was speaking of a conspiracy theory regarding politics. And I won't go into that. It frankly is just not that interesting. But the argument was that there was this vast conspiracy related to a particular thing, and that this political figure had bumped off this person, that person, and so on. And I was sitting and listening to this and was greatly amused by it. And my response was, you know, Ben Franklin famously said, three can keep a secret if two are dead. And this isn't my argument. You know, Colson made this argument powerfully.
Yes, he did.
C.S. Lewis and others have made this argument powerfully, but the very idea that a secret like this could be maintained, that a conspiracy like this could be pulled off, is more fantastic. Will Durant, who wrote the 11-volume History of Civilization and who was himself a declared atheist, he says that the Gospels themselves record events that are, how does he put it? He says that they are, they're too real to be simply discarded. And to say that the person of Jesus and the events surrounding his life in the Gospels, as contained in the Gospels, that those are, that he's not a real figure and that these events themselves are not real, he said would be a miracle more improbable than his bodily resurrection. You know, so I think Durant was on to something and might explain why he had, as a Franciscan monk told me, had a deathbed conversion. But I think it's very, very important to understand what we're talking about when we say that. The idea that a collection of men would maintain to their death without any personal gain to a man that what they had written and said regarding this figure was true is just too important. And let me give you one historical example of what I'm talking about. The Caton Forest Massacre. You've probably heard of it. At the beginning of World War II, September of 1939, the Germans invade Poland from the west and the Russians from the east, and they divided the country. And the Russians, it had been rumored for decades, it took the cream of the Polish intelligentsia crop and took them out into a forest somewhere and massacred them. Now, that rumor persisted for decades. And finally, around 1989 or 90, Gorbachev admitted that it was true. Now, what is interesting about that is that in that particular massacre, the Russians, who are the best, in my opinion, at pulling off conspiracies. I mean, I tend to discard conspiracy theories unless they involve Russians. The Russians, what they did was, after the execution of all these people, they executed the executioners.
So they couldn't speak.
And still the conspiracy could not be contained. They couldn't keep it. Now think of how fantastic it is to believe that a fraud as great as the resurrection of Christ, could be pulled off by a group of simple, uneducated men, and that could be maintained is an absurdity. And I for me, that's one of the most compelling arguments. I mean, just knowing something about human nature, you just know that just simply can't be true.
Oh, absolutely. We're not going to. When pressure mounts on us and it's going to be detrimental to us, we're going to talk. That's just human nature. And boy, there was never a group of people that had as much pressure exerted on them externally than those apostles. And yet they stood firm and proclaimed that this man Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and God, and he was raised back to life and is alive today. That is the good news. That is the hope of the gospel, and we'll talk about that more.
Larry Alex Taunton joins us on Basic Gospel Today, everybody, and we'll be back to our conversation in just a moment. In this month of April, we want to say thank you to our loyal supporters with a new CD called Proof, the Resurrection. For those who are skeptical, there is an explanation for his resurrection that leaves no doubt whatsoever, and the evidence is there for anyone who cares to look for it. In fact, we'll be glad to point you to it. It's all there in Proof, the Resurrection. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your April gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and your copy of Proof, the Resurrection will be on the way. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Larry, let me read this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's verse 10, and it says, "In which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So Jesus Christ abolished death. And in many ways, it seems like when Christians talk about this resurrection, it becomes an affront to the pride of science. It's like here are these Christians who've just taken this giant leap into the dark, and they're claiming that there is a power greater than death. And we as scientists have never been able to replicate that, even come close to that. Do you sense that there's any rebuttal to the resurrection just out of their own pride that says it just can't be? We haven't found it, so it just can't be that easy.
If I understand what you're asking me, I hear the question is this. Are they denying the resurrection less for evidential reasons than for personal reasons?
Personal reasons, yes.
Yes, and I think the answer to that is yes. I mean, when you talk to many of the so-called, you know, new atheists, those that I have debated, those that I've just spoken with, over a cup of coffee, they don't want to believe it's true. They're not really interested in looking at the evidence. They're not really interested in reading the Bible. They're not really interested in taking it at face value. And I say that is someone who, for instance, I'm often writing in defense of the Christian faith or about those things that I find particularly disturbing. I mean, I will read, I will delve into the Quran, you know, for instance, or I will delve into this or that report, I've read Dawkins' book, you know, things of this nature, in order to, you know, to hear their arguments, to hear what they have to say, and to consider the validity of those arguments. And sometimes you do find yourself going, you know what, that's a good point. That's something I haven't considered. That's a place where, you know, maybe my side of the argument needs to rethink what we're saying or what we're doing. But you often feel that on the other side of this, there are very strong emotional reasons. And I will come back to what Romans 1 says, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And that passage, you know, begins by talking about men suppressing the truth. And I think that's what we're talking about here, is we're talking about the actual intentional suppression of the truth, because I think it's very interesting, Bob, that Scripture tells us that if you seek God, you know, you'll find him. That's a theme that runs through both Old and New Testaments, that if you seek him, you'll find him. God hasn't stacked the deck against us. And it also tells us that our own consciences will testify against us. You know, Romans 2:15 speaks of the conscience, and I think of that as really the soul's voice, meaning there's a sense in which God has implanted in us, and this actually scientists have looked into this. An Oxford research psychologist by the name of Olivera Petrovich, her research has shown that people are born not atheistic, but they're born with a kind of natural theism. They're not born Christians or adherents to any religion, but they are born believers in God. And so I think when we're talking about some of the new atheists and the denial of the resurrection or the person of Jesus, and, you know, sometimes the arguments get quite absurd that Jesus himself never existed. I mean, for instance, Dawkins more or less suggests that,
yes,
in the God delusion, which is just nuts from a historical point of view. I think this is why the Bible also tells us that only the fool says in his heart there is no God. That is, you have to actively suppress the truth that has been revealed to you externally, you know, the design argument that nature itself declares the glory of God. But you also have to suppress that internal evidence, your own conscience, which testifies to you that God himself is real. So you have to make the conscious decision to say, I'm not believing that. It's like, you know, denying your GPS, you know, turn right. Well, you choose not to listen to it and keep going. But
you're not going to get to where you want to go,
but you're not going to get where you need to go.
Yes.
So yes, I think the answer is an absolute yes to your question.
Yeah. Well, I just think if science and biology says, hey, God is the only one that has power over death, then it's going to expose science to be a limited, area. And it does. Science has its limits. And the atheists of the day and those who think science is going to answer every single question about man and about humanity and origins and where we're from and where we're going and all of that sort of stuff, to believe that God has power over death is going to expose the limits of their God. And they certainly don't want to do that.
Well, no, they don't. But I would want to say something to your listeners here that's maybe slightly off topic, if you'll indulge me for a moment. What you're talking about is something called scientism.
Yes.
Scientism is, you know, the idea that science can answer everything. And, you know, as has been pointed out by scientists themselves, that, you know, science can't answer the simple questions of a child. You know, who am I and why am I here? You know, it can tell you what you're made of, but it can't answer those kind of questions. And that's very important. But I would also want to say to your listeners, we want to be careful that we don't think that science is somehow our enemy. Not real science isn't. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that you were saying that, but I do know many Christians who think that way. And if you ever find yourself in a discussion with one of the atheist types who sort of buys into this idea that, you know, they're scientifically driven, which I find to be kind of an absurdity, the way they will often want to frame the discussion is science versus religion. And if you allow that to be the framework of your discussion, then you've already lost, because
yes,
what they're effectively doing is trying to say fact versus fiction, a reality versus, you know, unreality.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't want to accept that kind of discussion, because, see, I think the historical record, and I think science is on our side.
I do too. Well, Larry, let me jump in. We're just about out of time, and boy, this just flies. We'll have to do it again.
Yes, yeah.
And for our listeners, if you want to find out more about Larry, visit LarryAlexTaunton.com. He has just a myriad of resources that will be so beneficial to you. Again, that's LarryAlexTaunton.com. LarryAlexTaunton.com. And Larry, thanks for being with us. We'll have you back again as soon as we can. Okay, my friend?
Yes, indeed.
Hey,
thanks,
delighted
Larry.
To be with you guys. You take care.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow, friends. Bye-bye.